And speaking of giving, we're going to talk about money today, but we're not going to talk about giving. Can you believe a preacher would talk about money without talking about giving? We've already taken the offering, okay? But today we're going to talk about a misquoted verse. Have you ever heard somebody say, money is the root of all evil? Money is the root of all evil. In fact, money is evil. That's not what the Bible says. It's really not what the Bible says. We're going to quote today from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And it says this, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." It says they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money. Let's say that we could fill this stage with $100 bills. Wouldn't that be cool? This high, 5'10", all the way across the stage, and we put an ad in the paper and say, next Sunday we're going to do a drawing and we're going to give that to one person. I wonder how many people would be here next Sunday. I bet we would be full, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Okay? I bet we would be absolutely full. And let's say we draw that and we give that money away to one person. There's going to be several reactions throughout that group of people that are there. What will it be? One person is going to be extremely happy. There are going to be people who are jealous. There are going to be people who are mad. There are people who are going to say, well, that was rigged. There's going to be people who say, but what about me? There's people going to say, you know what I could do if I had that money? How many people I could bless if I'd won that money? All kinds of different reactions. But let me ask you a question. Did that stack of money have any kind of power in itself? None. Money within itself has no power. It has no personality. It has no nature. It's not good or bad. It's just a medium of exchange. That's all money is a medium of exchange. But notice what it says here. See, people want to put the emphasis on the money, that money is evil. But really, what has the tendency to be evil? We do. Isn't that true? Some people says money changes people. No, money reveals what's already in the heart. Money reveals what's in the heart. I've had people say, you know what? If I won the lottery, I would tithe. And I'm thinking, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't tithe. If you're not tithing now, you wouldn't tithe then. In fact, I had a guy tell me one time, he was in a lawsuit. And he got injured and was in a lawsuit. He says, when I get my settlement, I'm going to give 10% of that to the Lord. He got his settlement. He gave nothing. He wasn't a giver. The problem was not with the money. The problem was with the heart. The heart. So what does it say? It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the what? The love of money is the root of all evil. See, money cannot buy life. Money can buy things, but money can't buy life. We live life. We can have a good life without wealth. Now, I like money. Does anybody here like money? If you don't like money, something's wrong with you. Okay, I'm just going to say, something is wrong with you if you don't like money. We need money. We use money. But guess what? We should not worship money. It should not be our source. It is a medium of exchange. But it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. As I was looking at this, I looked at the Greek word for love of money. And I come across three Greek words that really spoke to me because they mean particular things and they give us insight into people. The root word for all three of these that I'm going to share with you is phileo, which means brotherly love or fondness. It's a form of love. Two men can love each other in a good way, okay? There are people in your life that you love and they are of the same sex, but it's a brotherly love. You appreciate them. You love them. So it is the root for all three of these words that I'm going to share with you. The first word is the word, and I may not pronounce it correctly. It's philanthropos. Philanthropos, which we get our English word Yeah. How come I can't say that all of a sudden? Philanthropy. We get our word. Now, what is that? That is where somebody who is maybe wealthy and they share their wealth and they bless other people with their wealth. Two Greek words. It's phileo, which is love, and anthropos, which is mankind. It is the love of mankind. The Bible encourages that kind of love. Love for your fellow man. Then the second Greek word is the word phileatos, which is phileo and auto. Now that is not the love of a car. Autos there means self. Have you ever seen somebody that just loved themselves? I mean, they were lovers of self. Everything has to do about self. What about me? You know, if you get on Facebook, and I heard somebody say the other day, we ought to call it fake book. Because there are people that are trying to attract attention to themselves because they have a need to be, they just have a love of self. They need to be affirmed. They need this. I need. And it's, this is a kind of love where you love yourself above other people. You love yourself above everything else. In fact, your relationship with other people depends on what they can do for you, not what you can do for them. It's not a good kind of love. Now, I think we ought to love ourselves, but I don't think we should love ourselves above other things. What are we supposed to love first of all? God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can love myself, love your neighbor as your self. So it's talking about a balanced love life here. But I know people who, and this is where we get one of our words, selfish. Everything is about me. It's about my needs. It's about what I want. And I'll be friends with you as long as you can do something for me. But when you cease to, where you're not doing something for me, then we can't be friends anymore. Do you like being around those kind of people? I don't like being around selfish people. I don't. I don't think God likes that either. God, aren't you glad God's not selfish? I'm glad God is philanthropos. He loves mankind. He is the philanthropist of the universe. He is one who gives freely grace and love and acceptance when we don't deserve it. He is the greatest example that we have of that. And Jesus was a great example of that. Then the third word here is, Greek words, phileagoura, and it is the love of silver, the love of silver. Now, does silver have any nature within itself? No, it does not have any nature within itself. In fact, greed is not a financial issue. It's a heart issue. Andy Stanley said that. greed is not a financial issue, because money is something that we're all going to deal with. In fact, God uses money to prove us. You remember the parable of the talents? It wasn't physical talent. It was a talent was money. And the guy gave servants. He gave three servants. He gave one, he gave one two talents, and he gave one five talents. And he goes away, and he lets them use those talents, and then he comes back for the reckoning of what they did with their talents. And what each one did with their talent reflected what was in their hearts. They were either faithful or they were not faithful. So God uses money many times to prove us and maybe even show us where we're at, where our heart is concerned. God is all about changing our hearts. We say this all the time. God loves you just like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you like you are. Because if we never change, there's people who absolutely hate change. If you hate change, you hate growth. In order to grow, you're going to have to change. So we need to be willing to make changes in our life. God wants to change you. He accepts you, but He wants to change you. Not your personality, but He wants to change the things in your life that hold you back. That hold you back from being all that you can be for Him. See, every one of us, we say this all the time. We say a lot of things all the time. And if I say it long enough, maybe you'll start believing it. You're here on purpose. You're in life on purpose. You have a purpose. You are designed by God on purpose. You're not an accident. Maybe mom and daddy said, you're an accident. You just snuck through. No, you didn't snuck through. God designed you. Okay? God knew you. He put purpose in you. But we come flawed. We come goofed up. And what needs to happen is that when we make Jesus Lord, some people think, we're going to talk about that next week. Some people think, well, I'm saved now. That's the end. No, 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 no. No. When you get saved, that's the beginning. Because even though you've been forgiven and your heart has been changed, your head's still goofed up. You have stinking thinking. And that leads to the hardening of the attitudes. So we need a checkup from the neck up. And God has given us His Word to change the way that we think that matches what He did in our heart when we made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior. So when you get saved, you're just getting a brand new slate. You're getting a clean slate. But if that's all that ever happens in you, you'll not amount to much spiritually. You'll just kind of ease through life, and you won't accomplish much, you won't do much. God wants to do something in you. And one of the things that He uses to show us who we are and to show ourselves who we are and to prove us is entrusting us with something called money. In fact, in one of those parables, the guy who was faithful with two, he says, I'm going to give you authority over five cities. And the other guy, he said, he was faithful with his, and he says, listen, I'm going to put you over 10 cities. If I can trust you with money, which is the least in God's kingdom, can I just tell you, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have money. Thank you, Jesus. You're not going to need money. In fact, the thing that you're going to walk on is probably one of the most precious things that we have here called gold. All it's good for there is paving the streets. That's not the true riches. We're not going to have money. We're not going to have wealth. But God's jewels is people. And in our society, it's flipped around the other way, that money, power, and influence is the highest thing, and people are the lowest, because people who gain money, power, and influence in a worldly way, they step on people to get to where they're at. They use people to get where they're at. We're not supposed to be users of people. We're supposed to be blessers of people. And your attitude towards money kind of determines where you are in that. And if you're not faithful with money, God is not going to trust you with the true riches. So He uses money to prove us with. So greed is not a financial issue, it's a heart issue. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless." How much land would you like to have? Well, I'd like to have my property and everything that touches it. When does that end? When you own the whole world. But what does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? See, it's not about what we have, how much we have. It's what we do with what we have. Okay? Am I going to make it all about me? Am I going to worship my stuff? Am I going to get all I can all I get, and set on the can? Is money going to be my security? Is that going to be my security, or is God going to be? And we'll get to that in a few minutes. So it says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not just evil, all kinds of evil. First thing it does, it disillusions us. When we love money and we think money is an end-all, that if I'm a millionaire, oh, yes, I'm going to have it made. I got $1 million. Well, guess what? How much wealth is enough? Just a little bit more. Well, I'm going to be satisfied when I have that. And guess what? You're not satisfied because there's more. You're disillusioned. See, stuff is not what makes us happy. Two things ought to make us happy. It's God and our relationship with our family, friends, and humanity. Those are the things that ought to be satisfying to us. Those are the things that will do, that should make us happy. Those are the things that will not disillusion you. Because I know people who have got wealthy at the expense of their marriages, at the expense of their children. And they have been disillusioned by that. And I know people that thought that, man, if I could just have a business, if I could just do this, and then this would fulfill me. And I know of a person that used to go to church here, very, very involved in our church. In fact, he was our sound guy, not Jimmy B. Okay, this is years and years and years and years and years and years ago, a long time ago, back in the Stone Age, in the old church. But he was faithful. He was at everything. He did everything. He was so involved. And then he started a business. He said, "Oh, God has blessed me with this business." And he got in business, and he did pretty well with it. It did well, something he wanted to do and liked to do. And the first thing you know, he's not at church anymore. And I go to visit him. He said, "Well, we're open on Sunday, and I just can't come." I never saw him again. Can I say he backslid? As far as I know, even to this day, probably 30 years later, he's still not serving God. He had a heart for the things of God. He loved God. He loved the church. And yet he let something come between that. His greed, his love of money, his love of possession, his love of influence, his love of that came before his love for God. Now, can you own a business and still honor God? Absolutely. But that can't be number one. What has to be number one? God has to be number one. What has to be number two? People. See, when we own businesses, it should not just be to make money. It should be to bless people too. It should be. It should be. You know, when you think that way, it'll change the way that you do business. It'll change the way you do business. So he got plumb away from God. The third thing that this will cause is grief. There will be grief. There will be sadness of heart because there's something lost. There's something lost. There's something missing. And it's just like something died. And people will grieve. Then the last thing, that this other kind of evil, this is kind of a progression. Heartbreaking remorse. I know people who've been very successful in business. They served their business. They spent their time at their business. They were all about their business. And they come home one day and their wife is gone. Their kids are gone. And everything that they thought that they were working for to be a blessing to is gone in their life. And there's remorse. There's heartbreaking remorse. See, the love of money, putting the love of possessions and money and power and influence is the root of all kinds of evil. So is God saying, don't have stuff, don't have money, don't have a savings account? No, he's not saying that at all. What he's saying is, don't let it have you. When you let it have you, it controls your actions. It controls your outlook on everything in life. And we need to keep God's perspective. God's perspective with things. Then there's this thing of lack of resources. See, there are people who are guilty of the love of money and they don't have a dime. A whole different attitude. A whole different attitude. They look at people who have things and they judge them. They're jealous of them. They despise them. Why? Because they want what they got. There's a story in the Old Testament that kind of shows something, that kind of shows what's at the root of some of this. Remember the children of Israel? When they came out of Egypt into the wilderness, can I just tell you that when they came out, they spoiled the Egyptians. They came out with gold and silver and stuff and all kinds of things. But you know what that was good for in the wilderness? Nothing. That medium of exchange didn't work there. And so they're out in the wilderness, and the first thing that they run into is there's no water. There's no water. And what do? They gripe and they complain because there is no provision. There is no provision. And a lot of times when we have a lack in our life, we become embittered. We complain. We do all of these kind of things. We're just kind of like the children of Israel. We're not thankful. See, we should be thankful at all times. You know, I was thinking this morning as I was coming from my second church back to my first church. You know, I said, God, do I only praise you when things are going good? Am I only thankful when people are coming into the church and there's a financial blessing that comes to me, some unexpected source, or something good is happening in my life? Am I only grateful for that? Is that why I serve you? Or can I praise you when things are not going my way? And I kind of had to stop and look a minute. And I got to thinking, Lord, what I really love is having you in my life. And if I have you in my life and your favor in my life and you accepting me, then I can be grateful no matter what my circumstance is. But it's amazing. Now listen to me. because I have seen people's spirituality rise and fall with their financial circumstance. I'm so glad when the market goes up 300 points in one day. I got some stocks in that. But the other day when it went down 360-something points, I thought, oh my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to lose my 403B. Is it going to go to pot? It's not going to be worth anything. I won't have anything to retire on. I mean, you start this whole thing. Can I be just as thankful when it's up? All right, when it's down, that I am when it's up? I like it when it's up, don't you? If you got stocks, you know what I'm talking about. Here's the children of Israel. They had stuff, but it meant nothing because there was no medium of exchange. They were in a place of lack. They had no water. Another time, they had no food. What did they do? They griped and complained. In fact, they started to get a group together to go back into Egypt. See, they said, you know what? We remember the time when we had melons, leeks, and onions. What they forgot when they were in Egypt, they were in slavery. They were mistreated. But because of the lack of resources, they were willing to go back into slavery so that they could have stuff. Can you see the insanity of that? They were abused. They were mistreated. They were treated like possessions because that's all that they were. They were possessions. They were a means to an end for the Pharaoh. And it's amazing that the children of Israel had no resources, but what they forgot that they did have, they had no provision, but you know what they did have? They had a provider. Sometimes we look at the resource, abundance of or lack thereof, and we forget that we have a provider. The provider is the important thing. What happened when they had no water? Moses struck a rock and water gushed out, and they had plenty of water. What happened when they had no food? God caused it to rain manna from heaven and quail from heaven, and He fed them for 40 years. There was no resource. There was no provision in the wilderness, but there was a provider. He was trying to get them to see, listen, don't trust your circumstances. Don't trust where you're at. When you have plenty or when you have lack, don't worry about that. You've got me. So where should our love be? Our love should be in our relationship with God, not in the abundance of our stuff or the lack of our stuff. See, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Whether it's abundance or lack, it'll cause you to do dumb stuff. And it leads to destruction. Hebrews 13:5. This is the last verse and we're closing. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, are you ready for this? Never will I leave you. Now if God dies, we've had it. Aren't you so glad that miracles didn't pass away when the last apostle died? God is the God of miracles today. He's the God of provision today. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's some qualifying things that go with that. But listen, we still have a provider. It doesn't matter what the stock market is. It doesn't matter what the economy is. We may not have all the provision that we think we need, but listen, we have a provider. And He says, I will never leave you. So should we love our money? No. Should we love ourselves? No. Should that be the highest point? No. Should we love mankind? Should we love God? Yes. That's the highest kind of life that there is. So is money the root of all evil? No, it's our attitude toward it that can be the root of all evil. When we love it more than we love God, when we love our stuff more than we love God, that's where opens the door for all kinds of evil. Can we stand together today? Did you get anything out of that? I don't know about you, but I'm having fun teaching this series that we're doing on Is That What He Said? God, we're beginning to see you in a different light. We're beginning to see you in a different way. Not a God that's opposed to us, but a God that's for us, that's provided for us. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to love you first. And you said if we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, that all of this stuff will be added to us. But we won't serve it. We'll serve you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Prayer team, would you come? If you're here today and you need prayer, if you need anything, if you need to make Jesus Lord today, listen. Come into the family. If you're not in the family of God, come into the family today. That's where it starts. It's not where it ends, it's where it starts. Let's worship. Would you come?